You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. This is your host, Matthew Raphael Johnson, and this is going out on the 30th of November, 2023. The destruction of the Arab population in Gaza continues with full American and European backing. Of course, the Western press is tightly controlled on the matter, proving who runs things. And note, too, as I've said before, this policy is fully consistent with the slogan that Israel's the region's only democracy, a statement both factually incorrect and ideologically absurd. It's a case of special pleading used by the ignorant or those pretending to be ignorant to justify the current policy. Sometimes we forget Gaza is only 25 miles long and 5 miles wide, with a population of about 2.3 million people, making it the most densely populated region on Earth. So as of now, actually as of a couple of days ago, the numbers were this. 1.73 million displaced Arabs in the Gaza Strip. A minimum of 20,030 civilians killed. Not quite 10,000 children killed. And about 4,100 women killed. There's about 7,000 that remain unaccounted for, and that also includes about 4,700 children. Injuries, severe injuries, there's about 36,350 is the number as of a few days ago, civilians who've been badly injured. One of the things that makes the war interesting from a genocidal point of view is that about 70% of the dead are women or children. Of course, the IDF says the opposite, and that's from, you know, the UN, and often it's usually, you know, maybe 60% are men in previous wars, meaning that still 40% are essentially non-combatants. And one of the reasons for this is that Israel's using the American-made 500-pound bomb as standard weaponry. It really doesn't make a lot of sense in a densely populated area, and even the Pentagon says that these weapons have no place in attacking a place like this. And even the New York Times, believe it or not, one of the most corrupt institutions in American society, have been forced to admit that. Even the White House will admit that the Palestinian health services are correct in their estimates. And it used to be that you would go to the hospitals to get accurate readings as to dead and wounded from the war. But since Israel has shut them all down, if not destroyed them, that's more and more difficult to do. So other agencies have to be used. And the UN has been somewhat helpful in that respect. If you remember Anne Boyle, who was the editor of the New York Times magazine, who resigned. I just read her resignation letter about a week ago, week and a half ago. Because the editorial board, which is almost completely Jewish, refused to treat this war as an Israeli crime. In other words, to factually report on things. But that's not necessarily what I want to talk about. A couple weeks ago, the Israeli intelligence ministry, that's separate from the Mossad, came out with a policy paper on Gaza civilian population. It's dated the 13th of October, 2023. And it was leaked, and I say that in quotes, But what it deals with are the options for the population of Gaza. They have three options, and the pros and cons of each. So, and the document is extremely interesting. I have an unofficial translation. It was written in Hebrew at one point. But it says that, in its summary, that there's no question at this point there needs to be a radical change in what they call the civilian reality in the Gaza Strip. And right in the introduction, it says, the objective defined by the government requires intensive action to harness the United States and other countries to support this goal. Now, without getting into too many details right away, this Ministry of Intelligence, which is largely a research institute connected to the state, is recommending the forcible and permanent transfer of all what's left of the 2.3 million Palestinian residents to Egypt's Sinai Peninsula. There's a leftist Jewish publication from Tel Aviv called 972, which is Israel's telephone code. And it came up on a local call, which is a website, really right after it was released. And it is an official document. It's only about 10 pages. It has the logo of the intelligence ministry, which is it's a state body, but mostly does policy research. And then shares that with other agencies. And given the three options, it recommends full population transfer. But in the process, there is this worry of how this is going to be perceived, and therefore the propaganda war has to be waged with everything that the Jewish power structure in the world has, which is quite a bit. Now, initially, of course, when this was first leaked, it was dismissed as, you know, conspiracy theory, or at a minimum, just a few lunatics in the ruling class in Tel Aviv right now. Now, of course, it's been confirmed, like all of these things. There was a local Israeli news outlet, Sitcha Mekomet, which first leaked it, I believe, and this would be the second Nakba, or the catastrophe, from the Arab point of view, the mass expulsion in 1948 of the Arab residents there to create the state of Israel. Now, I want to briefly talk about the options, but before I do that, there has to be five things that any policy option has to contain for it to be taken seriously by anybody. Now, the first one, of course, is obvious, that Hamas has to be destroyed. The second is that outside of the combat zone, which I'm not sure how they define that, the evacuation of the citizens for their own benefit is an absolute necessity. Three, Israel has to figure a way to channel international aid to reach the area in accordance with whatever policy they choose. And that's, again, the entire thing will be under IDF control. Number four, to me, is one of the most interesting. It reads, no matter what's chosen, it's necessary to carry out a deep process of implementing an ideological change. That is to say, of the people in the area. Denazification, they actually say that. And finally, the selected policy, whichever one they use, the state's political goal regarding the future of the Gaza Strip is the final, I think this is very rough translation, very final picture of the war. In other words, that this is going to be it. This will neutralize them once and for all. So anything they choose in this document has to be, you know, operationally possible. It has to be not so much legitimate, but we can legitimize it using the power that we have. The ability to carry out this ideological, conceptual change, only concerning the Jews, of course. And of course, the broader strategic issues have to be more or less, in Israel's favor. So these are the three options that they lay out. Option A, the population remains where they are, and Israel imports the Palestinian Authority, of course, is in charge of the West Bank, and I guess still is in theory, simply impose them on the population of Gaza. The second option is, again, no expulsion, but Israel then has to pay for and control an Arab authority that will be accepted and yet be moderate enough to not worry Israel. And of course, the third one is the one they went with, the evacuation of the Syrian population from Gaza to Sinai. They pick the third one. They pick C because, as they say, the positive long-term strategic outcomes for Israel are the most positive. And then they say it requires determination from the political echelon in the face of international pressure, with an emphasis on harnessing the power of the United States and additional pro-Israeli countries for the endeavor. Now, it's unclear, I mean, I think I know what they mean, by the political echelon. They're talking about Jewish lobbying groups, stupid Christian fundamentalist Protestants, using them, plenty of academics, not all of them, but plenty of academics. They have to mobilize those resources, which are tremendous. You know, in the U.S., the media is a Jewish interest in and of itself. But they also mean things like the ADL and leftist groups all over the place who are philo-Semitic enough to ignore what's going on in Israel. Although those people are, outside of your moderate suburban liberals, are falling away in huge numbers. So option A, I mean, the fact that, you know, they think that all of this is possible, they also, it's a bit like what happened to the South after the Civil War. There'll be a temporary Israeli military government, and then they'll bring in Palestinian Authority politicians. They fully admit that Hamas is legitimately popular. So they were lying about the election in 2006. They took over in 2007. It was a landslide. It also, though, requires combat in densely populated areas. The only thing that bothers them is that it risks too many IDF soldiers. They also worry about, if the intensive combat continues, they're worried about Hezbollah. And of course, they know it's been done in the past. The Gaza population will reject the Palestinian Authority. Still, if the war's over, Israel is then fully responsible for everything that stems from this war. In other words, it'll be too expensive, and it'll make them look bad. But since there's no mass expulsion, they think ultimately that it wouldn't be that tough to get international support. We all know what that means. It will be a long execution time, and how long can Israel maintain any kind of international support under a full military government? Although, you know, in the West Bank, it's been essentially that for a very long time. What's consistent in all of these, though, as I said, the most interesting part, is creating ideological change. And let me quote it directly here. It is obligatory to construct a public narrative internalizing the failure and moral injustice of the Hamas movement, and to replace the old perception with a moderate Islamic ideology. This process is similar to the denazification carried out in Nazi Germany and Imperial Japan. Among other things, it is crucial to dictate the school curricula and enforce its use for an entire generation. Bringing in the Palestinian Authority within the education system is difficult because they don't disagree with Hamas on what Israel is. They currently promote hatred and hostility, they say. Well, that's just a matter of factual reporting. The PA isn't malleable enough for the Israelis. And it's tough to assume that they would act firmly, they say. I mean, they may dislike Hamas, but to create a roughly pro-Zionist version of Islam is beyond their capacity. They even admit something I've said before, that Hamas is extremely popular in what they call Judea and Samaria, which is just the West Bank. And here's a direct quote. The leadership of the Palestinian Authority is seen throughout Judea and Samaria as corrupt and hollow, and loses to Hamas in terms of public support. Now, the other option is that the Israelis can create a Gaza-based Arab movement that it can control after the military government, once the war is over. So there's a lot of ifs already. Also requires combat, also requires this dense population, second front in the north, all these things that the first option had as cons. It's the same thing here. They claim that this option, Hamas can win this. I think it's very, I mean, they can't defeat this guerrilla operation in Gaza without removing the population or slaughtering the population. It's really tough to win a counterinsurgency war under these conditions anyway, since there's so much public support for the insurgents in places like Gaza among the Arab population. They say that the problem is the huge numbers of casualties. Civilian casualties especially can be used for their propaganda, not because it's reality, but their propaganda. And the same thing for military rule, however long that would take. They admit this, though. There is no local opposition to Hamas. That no matter who rises to the top, no matter what happens, Hamas is still going to win. In other words, it's almost unanimous. So there can't be a opposition movement that they can create or finance opposed to Hamas, because there's nobody opposed to Hamas. They say this. They say the problem with the second option is it'll be challenging to create this ideological change and the eradication of Hamas as a legitimate movement, because you don't have a lot of anti-Hamas people. They say, well, when we denazified Germany, the new leadership that they admit they created was composed of individuals who opposed the Nazis in the first place. So the ideological change they're talking about is simply impossible. But understand what that means. They're saying that unanimously, democracy would insist that Hamas rule the Gaza Strip. No one opposes them. No way could anyone else either emerge or be imported from elsewhere that can rule the place. They do think that the Gulf states would support this because they'd be attacking the, you know, Muslim Brotherhood and, you know, whatever the slogans might be. But they'd be pressured to remove the military government that Israel would impose and somehow bring someone in to fill the vacuum. That's one big if after another. They say, no, there's no value here. This whole project can become a strategic liability in a few years. So option C, the third one, is what they go with. Total movement of the Arab population to Egypt. This is not a fantasy, as the regime initially said. It has been verified. This is a legitimate document, and that's the end of it. Now, it goes in four stages. Now I'm talking about, okay, they're already engaging in option C. And they have this in four stages. First of all, you know, those in northern Gaza have already been told to leave. There's nowhere to go. And this is to be sold to the world in an effort to avoid unnecessary civilian casualties. That's how they're going to promote it. Somehow the civilians will leave, but Hamas will stay. That's the assumption here. The evacuation warning was announced the very same day that the intelligence ministry published this plan, at least within the Netanyahu cabinet. Now, secondly, land assaults going from north to south down the Gaza Strip with sustained airstrikes to physically clear Palestinian. I mean, they'd be bulldozing people. Now, this is already happening. Whether or not the reports of taking Gaza City are correct, I don't think it is. And then that would lead to the cleansing of Hamas fighters. How they define what a Hamas fighter is, well, they'll be very loose with that definition. This is another way of saying that the entire strip will have to be occupied by Israel, but without the civilian population. Then, all routes out of the strip, except for one, are to be kept very tightly sealed. In other words, the military would ring the entire place. And the only place they can go, unless they want to be destroyed, would be the Rafah border crossing, that is, into Egypt. Now, so far, the Egyptian government, which, by the way, was installed by the U.S. in the so-called Arab Spring, has, for lots of reasons, refused to accept this huge number of refugees. So far, that's kept this phase from going into action. But they know what the U.S. is capable of. They can create another color revolution. They could do what they did in Libya that I've already spoken of. There's a lot that they can do to get rid of this government and install some American-educated, English-speaking Egyptian to, or even a foreigner, to take all of these refugees. Now, the claim is that Israel, I'll put that in big quotes, would then construct tent cities in the fourth place in the northern Sinai Desert and then build entire cities. And that's where everyone will be permanently expelled to. And I probably don't need to tell you that it's highly doubtful that anyone but the U.S. and maybe some of the Gulf states will foot the bill. Now, you know, of course, I don't need to tell you that this is a war crime. No other country could even remotely get away with talking like this. But the interest here for me is what they're forced to admit. Their attempt to, quote-unquote, motivate Palestinians to agree to leave and give up everything they own. And they talk about this sustained propaganda effort. The message, and this is the worst part, or the funniest part. They want to create a Islamic message. They're going to have to use their own Mossad operatives for this, to pretend to be Muslim imams. You know, this is right in the document. To create an Islam, to this propaganda effort would be couched in the language of Islam. And this is, I don't want to underestimate them. But if this works, then they deserve what they get. They have a script. It's just a draft. I don't know if it's been modified since then. But it goes something like, Allah has made certain that you lost this land because of the leadership of Hamas. You know, that Allah somehow is condemning Hamas. There is no choice but to move to another place with the help of your Muslim brothers. So they want to create an entire theology, an Islamic movement that has no other purpose than to condemn Hamas. That's going to be really hard to do, but that's right within the option that they've chosen. And look out for a lot of strange new names who are preaching the Islamic gospel of peace or something of the media will term it. And that will be directly from this. I have no doubt we're going to be hearing about these people. A lot of institutes and groups, you know, intra-faith, Jewish, Islamic, ecumenical bodies to humanize the Zionist movement. Not to mention that the settlers will also be a part of this. They want the U.S. to go after Abdel al-Sisi, who is the current leader of Egypt, and possibly replace him if necessary because he is opposing a lot of this. And it says very explicitly, they mention countries Greece, Spain, Turkey, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, the UAE, and a few others, not only to finance some of this, but even if absolutely necessary, to take some of these refugees. on the humorous side, they say that Canada will take a bunch of them because it has very lenient immigration policies. This is clear ethnic cleansing. I don't like using media slogans, but that's precisely what it is. But they need to do it in a way that does not incite people or blacken the reputation of Israel. So they have to call it different things. They need every media resource they have, which is pretty much all of it, to not refer to this as a mass deportation. No, no, this is a humanitarian movement for the sake of reducing casualties among the civilian population. So be on the lookout for this, because this is how the press will be told to describe this. Elite media will talk about this as something other than mass deportation. They'll attack those who claim that that's what this is, if it hasn't started already. But a spokesman for Abbas, Palestinian president in the PA, said, we are against transfer to any place in any form, and we consider it a red line that we will not allow to be crossed. What happened in 1948 will not be allowed to happen again. Now, I don't know, and I don't think there is any kind of official reaction to this. I can only imagine what the Turks are saying about it. But Al-Sisi's government says they will not go along with this. But very much like in the Gaza Strip, can the U.S. create a color revolution that has that as a consequence? No one is going to support this. And of course, if they do it in Gaza, they'll do it elsewhere. And if Israel gets away with it, God knows what the U.S. may do with that. Now, very obviously, we know what this is about. This is to completely destroy and break any possible origin of a Palestinian state. Now, when this was first leaked, the state, and they used their Haaretz newspaper, said, no, these are just initial musings. It's not really policy, despite the fact that it's actually being implemented. It's just a conceptual paper having nothing to do with what we're really going to do, despite it actually happening. But, you know, Western populations they deal with cognitive dissonance every day, and they'll certainly deal with this. But of course, it's not just the intelligence ministry and all these other groups that are promoting this. This is now official policy, and it will be defended by the elite media in the West. New York Times has been somewhat capable of publishing some rough casualty figures. This is a Jewish Zionist newspaper, but that could easily be attributed to basic damage control. You really can't cover this up when you have the UN talking about it every day, the WHO talking about it every day. Now, there was another one. The Misgav Institute for National Security and Zionist Strategy. This is another research group headed by Meir Ben-Shabbat. This was Netanyahu's national security advisor and was part of Shin Bet, the secret police agency in Tel Aviv. And this proposal is almost identical to that of the intelligence ministry. The author, in this case, is really no different. It's Amir Weitman, a Knesset member. And there he deals with the economic case for forced resettlement, buying up homes in Egypt and all the rest of it. Now, this was removed from their website. But it kind of injected it into the public realm. What they're doing is testing local opinion, which is a big deal because of how the riots erupted all over Israel against Netanyahu from Jews. But there's no doubt that the ministry document and Misgav document, they're clearly coordinated. The intelligence ministry, at least on a personal level, Weitman is a close associate of Gila Gamliel. This is the head of the intelligence ministry. The ministry pledged to transfer 1 million shekels, which I think it's like 4 to 1, so it's about $250,000, to Misgav's bank account to conduct research on Arab countries. And a short time later, that analysis of the Egyptian housing market came out. So you have numerous institutions all roughly around the same time coming up with feasibility studies as to this mass population transfer. So they have concluded that this mass expulsion, sending them into even worse, I mean, the Gaza Strip is a refugee camp. So is the entire West Bank, except where the Jews are. So that means they're going to send them to an even worse refugee camp. It's like one of these camp prisons that you have down in Arizona and New Mexico. Obviously, they can't do anything else because that automatically leaves Hamas in charge. They fully admitted that they are a popular, incorruptible group of people. That's how they're perceived. And there is no way that they can be removed except either through slaughtering them all or mass population transfer. That somehow that's going to leave Hamas behind. Obviously, the Mossad, Shin Bet, has plenty of people on the inside, but Hezbollah may have plenty of people in the IDF. Do not underestimate them. I'm reading a book presently on the history of the Lebanese Civil War, and Hezbollah, even at the beginning of their movement, was extremely sophisticated. In other words, what Israel's coming to the realization is that their state isn't feasible if the Gaza Strip unified under any, you call it Hamas, you could call it anything, unified under the rule of a group like Hamas. There's nothing wrong with a group like Hamas. And that's part of the reason why. So we can't say that merely because this exists, because it comes from official and non-official sources, means that it's not being implemented, because it is being implemented. Now, the intelligence ministry is really just a research arm. They are independent. But I don't know how you could, if you're a Zionist, how you could ever disagree with what they've come up with. Not only is Gamliel, as I mentioned, connected to the other research group, but has also has been a part of the Likud party for a very long time. So yes, this is more than just policy discussions. Establishing tent cities is obviously part of the agenda. So the U.S., and I'll end here, the purpose of the U.S. is, again, nothing but instrumental. Use the Americans to pressure Egypt, Turkey, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, the UAE. Even take, of course, the refugees themselves, send them to the European Union. And they say that if the U.S. is a part of this and it actually works, the U.S. will restore its status as global leader and a key state for crisis resolution. This is how they're going to go to American politicians. And this is, I'm quoting directly from the Appendix A of the leaked document. They think they could use the Gulf states to overthrow Hamas. I'm not sure how that's going to happen. And of course, most of all, to delegitimize groups like the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt and elsewhere, create an outlaw group out of it. So they're talking about manipulation. They're talking about using the U.S. as always as their golem. And I'm not so sure if this is anything but a fantasy. And even using the Canadians to promote this plan in the Western world, because they're kind of neutral, right? Of course, it's nonsense. Publicly financing pro-Israel, pro-Zionist campaigns all over the place, using every possible means. This is, of course, a microcosm of what Israel does, what the Jewish elite do every single day. I think it's conceivable, although it's going to be very hard to cover up. It's going to be very hard to lie about. But again, this is nothing new. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.